Creating a Family, talk about adoption and foster care. Before we dive into the show, and we're going to in just a sec, do me a favor. Tell a friend about this podcast. Post it on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or wherever you hang out online. Or, you know, go the old-fashioned way and tell somebody in person. Most people hear about podcasts from other people that they know. And we would really love for you to tell somebody because that helps us and helps them as well. So thank you. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that is relevant to anyone who is considering domestic infant adoption. And that is the whole idea of how to create a compelling adoptive parent profile. We'll talk in a minute about what that is, but it is a crucial step for every adoptive parent. Today, we're going to be talking with Madeline Melcher. She is an adoptee, an adoptive mom, and the author of How to Create a Successful Adoption Profile, Easy Steps to Help You Produce the Best Adoption Profile and Prospective Birth Parent Letter. She is the owner of Our Journey to You, a company dedicated to designing adoption portfolios and adoption profiles. Welcome, Madeline, to Creating a Family.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. I'm so happy to join you. You're always such a great resource.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for doing this interview. It's a topic that we get a lot of questions on because people are anxious. They want to put their best foot forward when they're considering an adoption profile. Let's start off by saying it's called any number of things, adoption profile, adoption portfolio. In the old days, it was usually referred to as a birth parent or birth mother letter. That's a little less common, although I think it is. There are some agencies that still use that terminology. But it all means the same thing. And what is that? What is an adoption portfolio profile or whatever? And how is it used?
Essentially, and it can kind of run the gambit from being 4 pages long to some agencies and attorneys require a whole like 20-page hardback book, but it is a snapshot of who you are and the life that you hope to share with the child. And so it is to be a true reflection of you and who you are through photos, through text, through captions, and you send that out into the world and hope that someone is able to connect with it. That's why it's so important that you really be you and you not try and be every other profile you've seen as you glance through trying to decide what you need to do as you create yours. It's really important that you be who you are because it's those little things about you that someone will be able to make a connection with. It's not how you look like everyone else. Through your profile, you may be chosen solely on your profile. That does happen sometimes. But mostly it's to make a connection with someone in hopes that they'd like to hear more or they'd like to meet you in person and see if you're truly the person you were on paper. That's why another reason why it's super important that you be you. And also, you are not only answering to yourself. And of course, you want to be ethical and honest and all those things through your profile. You deserve that. The expectant parents deserve that. And one day you'll hopefully be able to answer to a child that you welcome through adoption. And you know, for them as well, for all those reasons, it's so important that you really be you. When you put the profile out there, it will behoove you in every way.
And it's important to note at the beginning that each adoption agency or an adoption attorney has their own unique way that they want their profile to look. And they will tell you, but you should ask specifically. And some won't care at all. And some will have very detailed instructions of what they want you to do. And like you said, it varies in length. It varies in the actual format. Some actually have an outline that they want you to follow, and others don't care at all. So you need to ask your adoption professional what it is that they're wanting. All right. So parents are doing the profile. Then how is it used by an agency? What is the, and of course that varies as well. So an agency or an attorney receives the profile from you, and then what?
Well, generally, whether it is something that there have been some agencies of families that I've worked with that no longer even want a print version. They just want the PDF of the profile, and others want a hardback book. So again, before you start on anything, and I know you're in a super big hurry to take whatever moves you can make to make this happen for yourselves. But before you do anything, do talk to your agency, because you may be doing it all for naught. It may not be what they're looking for from you at all. So generally, then agencies, once you're finished with your profile and your home study is completed, they will either send your actual book, booklet, your profile off to expectant parents, depending on, you know, how big the agency is. They'll have to send them that way, or they may send them electronically. And they then the expectant parents pour through however many books they've received. I always hope they are not sending out more than four at a time, because they can be very overwhelming, particularly if they're the longer ones. But again, that's something that varies by agency. It may be that they're posted online and they direct them to their website to get a look and kind of narrow down some of the options. But generally, for the most part, the agencies and attorneys that I've spoken to or read the parameters of will send to expectant parents who kind of match up with the things that the hopeful family has filled out in their paperwork regarding things like drug exposure or ethnicity. And, you know, there's anyone who's filled out adoption paperwork knows there's so many things. And so they're kind of looking to make a match and in that respect first, and see who's aligns best with that. But sometimes you never know. There are cases where everything doesn't line up. You may already have children in your home, and they may have said they don't want anyone who has children that they're already parenting. But if you match up in many other ways, they may be open to seeing yours. So it's not always going to be a 100% match. I think anybody who's ever been married knows that you can match with someone without every single thing lining up. So so then that is what they're going to take a look at. And then they'll decide from there if they'd like to meet you. Or again, sometimes there are expectant parents who don't want to meet with the hopeful family, and they do choose directly from the profile. So, you know, we're all human beings, and we all have different feelings and different ways we want to handle things. So the exact way, that's why all these adoption stories are so different, is because you know, we just don't know how it's all going to come down. And so then, you know, for the most part, I think people then either speak to or meet with the expectant parents and then move forward from there.
We have received a question as to, she's wondering, why do we need to do a profile when we already have a home study? Why don't agencies use the home study itself and give that to the expectant parents?
I feel like the home study, it's almost like if you were going to read someone's medical records. Like, you can read my medical records and you're going to know, you know, the basic parameters of me as a human being, but not me, the person. So the home study, I feel like, is a check of health of all parts of your life. Like, can you, in a healthy way, mentally, physically, in a way of safety, all those kinds of things,
financially,
thank you, care for a child and provide life with this child. And that's very different than saying, what would my child's life look like with you? And I think when someone opens your profile, they should get a peek at that. What does your life look like? Who are you as a person? Are you the organized one? Are you the funny one? Will you be the one down on the floor? Will you be the one reading the book in the rocking chair? Will you be the one organizing all the snack bags in the pantry? Like, who are you? And where will my child be in your life? And so that's a lot different than the look that the agency is taking. They're almost like pre-certifying you with your home study. And so that's very different than the story you're telling to the expectant parents.
I like how you say that what you're trying to do really is paint a picture so that the expectant parents can envision what it would be like for their child to be raised by you, because they're making the most important decision of a lifetime. And they want to be able to think through the type of parent that they want to raise their child and the type of home and all the nuanced things that we think about when we think about a child being raised. So I think that's the goal of, not to put much pressure on you, but think about the pressure there. Exemplify your life in three easy pages or five or whatever. I mean, that is the pressure, of course, as well. But we're going to dive into more details to help you figure out exactly how to do that. Let me pause for a moment and tell you that this show is underwritten by the Jockey Being Family Foundation. And they want all adoption agencies or families to tell their adoption agencies about their backpack program, the Jockey Being Family Backpack Program. It is a free program to both parents and agencies, and it provides newly adopted children with their own backpacks, personalized with their initials and filled with this adorable little bear and a soft blanket, as well as a tote bag with parenting resources for their parents. If you are an agency representative listening to this, then you go to their website, jockeybeingfamily.com, and click on Backpack Program, and it will provide you all the information. If you are a parent, let your agency know about this. It's free, it's a wonderful resource, and it is a keepsake both for you and for your child. So please pop on over there to jockeybeingfamily.com and click on the Backpack Program. All right, so before we go into the details of exactly what is covered, what should be covered, what type of pictures, how many, et cetera, what is the experience like? You've talked with a number of expectant moms or dads. What is the experience like for them when they go through the profiles?
It is interesting that they have many of the same feelings as the hopeful parents. And so this is a place where we can really empathize with one another, that while we have, hopes and things that maybe are in a bit of a limbo, that we do share a lot of the same feelings in terms of wondering if we're good enough, if someone's going to like us, if someone's going to match with us, because a lot of the expectant moms that I had spoken to said, well, I wondered if they would choose me because of X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to some expectant moms that said, I was really afraid to say anything about, fill in the blank in my life, because I was afraid then they would not want my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, both sides are afraid of being rejected.
So that is something that you definitely have in common. And so there is a lot of reticence, and they do, just as you're wondering if they're going to tell the truth or if they're going to follow through with an adoption plan, a lot of times they're worried about the exact same thing. And if you may change your mind for one reason or another after you've met with them and all those kinds of things. So we're kind of going into it much like, I guess the best way I can kind of explain it is like a first date. Both sides are worried. Both sides are wondering, you know, is this something that's going to work out? Is it going to turn out like it was in my head? Which we all know a lot of things don't turn out as exactly as we imagine them, but they can work out. But everyone is worried about those same things.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. And that would be the cover. Assuming that you're, well, even if you're doing a digital only, but I think for let's assume that in addition to a digital, you're also doing a print. But either way, you've got a cover. What should be on your cover?
It really depends. Again, I hate to harp on it, but it is so important. It depends a lot about your what your agency guidelines are. And some agencies do want you to put a brief one to like maybe short two paragraph letter right there on the front cover. For the most part, the agencies and attorneys that my families have worked with tend to not require that, but there are some who do. So that is something you do want to check in on before you have your cover just the way you like it. But generally, you'll have your first names. You do not include your last name on your cover, just your first names, a really great picture of the two of you. And by great, I mean, you look like yourself. You're smiling. I like to see eye contact just as if you're, you know, meeting someone for the first time, and good lighting. We don't want it to be real pixelated. And you may put something like, hello, we are, whatever your first names are, greetings from sunny California, or whatever it is. Or you might just have your names. And occasionally, if there's something really interesting, I know particularly if there is a member of the couple that was adopted themselves, you may just put a little, for lack of a better word, like sticker on it digitally that says, you know, Sarah was adopted or something like that. And that way, right off the bat, that's something that an expectant parent would like to know. That is an automatic connection you would have with that child. And so that would be something nice to put on there. But generally, it's just mostly your names, perhaps a greeting, and that really great photo.
And if the photo can, if you are able to have a photo that kind of captures the essence of you and your, and if you're partnered, you and your relationship, that's important as well. I mean, not a zany one, but one that kind of captures something about you, if possible. If not, just a nice smile. And like you say, with eye contact, you know, where the eyes are actually looking into the camera.
Oh, sure. And if it's something somewhere you feel comfortable with that would make a nice background. I know I had a family where they actually did the pictures for their cover in front of the barn where they were married. And so it was just a nice, happy place and was kind of bringing their story around in a circle. And so they felt happy there and comfortable there. But again, like, I don't want to see the picture of you being the bridesmaid in your best friend's wedding, you know, 3 years ago as your cover picture. That doesn't mean dressiest doesn't mean your best photo. Your best photo is like your most genuine photo. If you're most comfortable in jeans and a plaid shirt, awesome. Wear that in your photos. If you are, you know, a person who wears a lot of dresses, that's fine. Wear a dress. But it's mostly about being you, because that's that first feeling, that first impression someone's going to get. And they may not turn the page further than that, depending on how they feel just in that second. And I think we all know that feeling when we first walk up to someone before we've touched their hand yet with the handshake. We have a little bit of a feeling about them. And so we're going for that feeling of who you really are. And so we need to start that from that very first page.
Are most agencies and attorneys still requiring a letter to the expectant parents, what we used to call a dear birth mother letter, now more often called a dear expectant parent letter? Is that still required?
It's interesting. I like to see a letter at the beginning just because I feel like you need to say, hello, you know, here's who I am, and introduce yourself before you just kick off and be like, here's my house and cat. But I don't know so much that they look at it the same way I do. Like, I want to see it really be something address those issues. And I do feel like some agencies and attorneys look at the full book or booklet, however long it ends up being, as your letter. Like in its entirety, it is the letter. And to say a letter, like, we're not writing a 3-page letter.
No, they usually ask you to do more than one page.
So we're not even doing a complete page of text once you've added, you know, some decorative elements and things to the page. So, and we don't want it to feel overwhelming. And something that would probably fit in here is that you don't want to use a tiny little font to squeeze in everything you wanted to say that didn't apply on another page. You know, we want to use a good size font on this, and so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. You do want to leave some white space there so somebody doesn't glance in and go, well, I'm not going to read. Let me see what pictures they have on the next page. So if you want somebody to read it, don't ever put so much text that it's going to be too overwhelming, too verbose. And I find a lot of people who do have longer texts, about half of it's not really saying anything about them anyway, or it sounds kind of generic, a little cookie cutter, like probably 50 other people I could scroll through on any given profile page right now. So again, we're really going for who you are, and not so much generic information that I could literally look at the next person in line and say, and they feel that way, and they feel that way, and they feel that way. So add some specifics, some uniqueness to it. And that's not a pressure of you have to be super interesting to yourself, or that you have the most money or go the most places. That just means they want to hear about you and your, you know, pancake breakfasts on Saturday mornings piled high with whipped cream, or, you know, whatever it is you do. You raise rabbits, you whatever. Whatever your thing is, that's what you need to be telling them about, not the same as everyone else.
So in your letter, are you trying to also say something about, thank you for looking at this profile? Some people want to say, I understand what you're going through, but that seems like if you really don't understand what they're going through, and it could be very hard for somebody who is not in the position of choosing a family for their child to place with for adoption. It would be really hard to know. So in addition to telling about yourself, should you say anything about the expectant parents?
I think it's nice to say that you are hoping to hear more about what their expectations, hopes, you know, whatever they have for the future are, you know, to hear more about them. Honestly, you don't know anything about them. I have met with expectant parents who felt really good about their making an adoption plan and had plans for themselves afterwards. There's others that it is devastating from the second they have to even consider making an adoption plan. You have no idea why the reader is even considering making an adoption plan, if it's something they're going to follow through with, any of those things when you go into it. So we really don't want to assume anything about that person. If you want to say you appreciate them reading it, that's fine. But I hate to see that as the first sentence in someone's letter, because there's other places you can put that. And you may only get 4 or 5 lines of someone reading your letter before they put it in one pile or another. Like they want to read more. So it's really nice if you can go into it. And, you know, these letters have evolved, obviously, over time from the dear birth mother letter times to where we are now with sometimes full page, full books. And then, you know, just the degree that the things are done. And I feel like some of my feelings have changed on this as well, is that you sometimes can be shown with a lot of other hopeful parents. And so if you can get that information in at the beginning, because you are saying, hi, here we are, and here's who we are, if you can say some of that in the first sentence rather than, hi, thank you for reading our letter. We appreciate it so much. We understand how you feel. And you've spent almost your entire first paragraph with all of these things, and you've literally said nothing that anybody else might also be able to say. You've said exactly what everybody else might be saying. So what you could say instead is introduce yourself, list a few things about yourselves in that sentence. We're a family who, we're a couple who, you know, X, Y, and Z, your pancakes, your, you know, horseback riding, or whatever it is you do in your life, we garden, you know, then and literally in your first sentence, they've learned your name and like 3 or 4 different things about you. And they aren't the same things everybody else is going to be saying, because they're things that are specific to you. So that way, immediately, they have another feeling for you. So they've gone from the C feeling on your cover photo to in your letter. Now they have the feeling of the pictures you've created with your words. You just gave them 3 mental pictures of you doing things in their head in just your first sentence.
All right. So we've talked about the cover and we've talked about a letter. And again, each agency or attorney may have their own things that they're going to specify that they want. But just in general, those are very common things that we have. What are some of the other sections that would be in a profile that most people include?
Well, if you think about the general parts of your life, and you think about expectant parents and the things that are, you're going to add the specifics to it, but the general things they'd be interested in, obviously, they'll meet you in the cover and then the letter. And then you may introduce yourself as a couple in some type of about us page. If you are not a part of a couple and you're a single person who is adopting, you can, this is a spot where you can bring in friends and family to give quotes about you and the kind of person you are and the kind of mom you'll be. Those kinds of things in lieu of that. And then a page just about each of you, if you're in a couple, or about you specifically. Your ideas on parenting is always a great section to include, or why you're adopting. If you have not answered that in your letter, that is a question I've heard quite a bit from expectant parents who went on to be birth parents and had placed, was they came into it with either a specific idea of what kind of couple they wanted to place with, and sometimes as specific as why they had chosen to adopt. But also, it's important for them to know. Some of them really feel strongly about placing with a family that otherwise could not have children. And so it's better a lot of times in your letter or your profile if you can answer questions like that rather than leaving them lingering, that you just go ahead and answer them. And you don't, please don't go into every bit and detail about, you know, all of the fertility procedures you had been into and all those kinds of things. But in a more general way, they do want to know. And I feel for everyone who's been down that the road of infertility, and that can be a really long road, but this is not the place to go into the great depths of that. But then additionally, after you've gotten out of those kinds of pages about you as a couple, if you're a couple, yourself as an individual, you'll put something about your home, for sure. Your community can go on in that home section. And likewise, family, friends, and if you would like to include pets. And I always like to include a closing page because I feel like you should come full circle. You said hello. You also need to say hope to talk to you later and thank you. And when somebody's given me their time, I always say thank you. So that's your opportunity to say that there, and rather than filling up your first paragraph of your letter with that. Those are kind of the core things I like to see people include. You can also include like hobbies, vacations, but the kinds of things that we would find you doing on any given week are the kinds of things, you know, do you go to summer concerts in the park? Do you spend time with your nieces and nephews? You know, what are the things you do in the evenings? Do you have a special place in the house? Do you cook dinner or do you like to go out and try, you know, different restaurants? Like, those are the kinds of daily things. Will you sit at this kitchen table and do math homework so patiently one day? And, you know, like, those are the kinds of things that we want to include as we go into it, the things that give people those snapshots of our life, and then how you plan on including a child in it. There's been some people that come into it and they have really cool lives, and I'm like, holy cow, how are they going to include work a child into all of these things that they have going on? Most of them don't even look like activity, like family activities. So you do have to also always make that connection as you are putting your profile together. And I'm not saying those people should have in any way, and obviously we worked it out, say, you know, things that aren't true about themselves and leave those things out of the profile. Those things did go there, the ones that would apply to how they were going to parent and how they were going to be a family and what they'd actually still do. Obviously, before we have kids, we do some different things. Then maybe after we welcome children, we might not do quite those same things. And then we might be watching Dora after we have kids. And so,
what you're basically saying is that we become boring afterwards. And that is so true. We do. Speaking for myself, I used to say, you know, I used to be really interesting.
I'm not sure if I was interesting, but I'd like to think I was more interesting. but yeah, you want to be able to bring the things that you're including in your profile back to the family you hope to be, the parents, you know, you plan on being, and all those kinds of things, not just look how cool we are. So no matter what you include in your book, those are that's kind of that circle you have to come back to is, you know, here's who we are. And then how would you include a child in that?
Well, and I've heard agencies say, well, don't include things like if you're a motorcycle enthusiast, you on a Harley or skydiving. But in a way, if that's who you are and you enjoy motorcycles, it's not saying that you're going to put an infant on a motorcycle. So what are your thoughts on that as far as whether they be pictures or whether they just be inclusion of activities that are not child-centered, but the parent would not be doing them with a child?
Right. Well, if that's truly a part of who you are, and you know, that's something you always plan on doing, the people who are going to read your profile are just as varied as those who put together profiles. And so there's going to be some that are like, awesome. I have a tattoo. I'd like to, the person that I choose, I might kind of connect with that if I saw somebody had a tattoo, or I have a motorcycle. And then they'd be like, oh, they like motorcycles too. That's something I share with them. And then my child would still, you know, that's like something like me. So I don't think that you don't include those. I almost feel like that is being kind of disingenuous to yourself if you mm-hmm. are not including things that really are a part of your life that you know you'll continue. Because some people may look at it as, that's really dangerous. I don't want to take the chance on my child having a parent, you know, in an accident or something. And then others may look at it as, that's awesome. I love that. Maybe they'll let, you know, my child jump out of an airplane for their 18th birthday. Like, you just mm-hmm. don't know how people are going to manage those things, because we are individuals. So no, I wouldn't say that you shouldn't include those things. And I've had families who have done things like that. And my own husband spent years jumping out of an airplane as part of his job. And it is what it is. You know,
mm-hmm. he lived to tell the tale. So yep. there you go. He must be good at jumping out of an airplane. Yeah. How many pictures should you include in your profile?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell you like overall how many pictures to include, because again, it would depend on the length that you have. But I would say that most pages, to truly get a feel for the picture, I would like to see like 3 to at very most 7 pictures, but that might be just like with a few smaller pictures in a text block somewhere on the page or something like that. We don't want the pictures to get so tiny that no one is actually feeling what you have in the photo. Otherwise, what was even the point of putting it there if it's going to be, you know, an inch and a half tall? Mm-hmm. So I hate it when I see them all scrunchied up, because then you don't feel anything. You can't really look at anybody. You can't totally see what's going on. Like you're kind of like, yeah, I can see that's part of a bike in that picture. But, you know, like we want to feel things. We want to feel where you are. We want to, you know, when you put mm-hmm. these pictures in there, you have a limited amount of space. The pictures you choose need to tell a story, and they can't tell a story if you can barely tell what the photo is. So enough that you are telling more than a couple of stories, but not so many that it doesn't do you any good.
What about the importance of captions for the pictures?
I am really thankful for captions, because when we don't want to overload a page with text, then we rely a lot on our pictures to tell a story. But rather than including that particular story in the space we have in our regular text, we can have a caption tell the story for us. And so if you put something on there, like I have had a number of families that enjoy biking or running or things like that, and they have great paths or mountains or, you know, whatever it is near their home. And they, you know, are like, yes, when we're a family, we're still going to do this. So if that you have something you're going to do like that, we really enjoy, you know, going to Mount blah, blah, blah to hike. And I plan on getting a backpack for our child so they can start joining us early, or I'm going to push the jogging stroller or whatever it is. Boom, you've told a whole story, something about you. You've drawn a picture about them and they see your great picture there. You make mm-hmm. gingerbread houses with your mom every Christmas. Got that awesome picture with you and your mom. And you put something about how, you know, 2 or 3 generations get together and you are, you know, ready to make that reindeer handprint apron, you know, for your kiddo to join you making gingerbread houses. So you can tell a whole lot and really paint a picture with something that is, you know, literally a line maybe too long.
Have we started with the digital starting to include videos, or is that frowned upon?
I do see people doing the videos. I never would have done a video, but that's me.
Why?
I don't know. I just think that feels really overwhelming. I think for some people, it really works. I think for other people, it's a little more challenging, but I think it depends on how you go about it. If it's like a live video, like, and be like, hi, I'm Madeline, you know, that kind of stuff, I'd probably get the giggles, and I'm not sure I can make it through, you know, the nervous giggles. I don't think that type of video would have gone well for me. I have seen people also do the pictures going through with either a background of someone kind of talking you through the pictures, or captions with music behind it. That works for some people. It's also, sometimes it's nice to see just maybe some home video type of things kind of laced together, but a lot of people need some help doing things like that. So there are many ways you can do a video. I just, me in particular, would not have felt as comfortable with that. I know given the way some of my families have felt about just their photos, I don't know how they would ever make it through a video. But
yeah, a lot more opportunity to screw up, and a lot harder to correct. Yeah, I can see your point on that.
Oh, I don't like how I look in that picture. It's, you know, and really when you choose your photos, feel good about it. Don't put something in there that every time you look at that book, you're going, oh, I don't know why I put that picture in there. That's why no one's going to choose me. You know, I literally, people say things like that. I'm like, then let's change that. Please, let's change that picture. You want to feel good about it because you do have control over so little in this process. Once you hand that book over, that you really need to feel good about it when you finish it.
Are there any type of pictures that you would suggest avoiding just in general?
Agencies prefer not to see any pictures of not only you not drinking, but even when wine glasses are on the table, even if they are water glasses and look like wine glasses, I've had agencies, you know, say, no, that's no good. So hopefully that's something you could crop out or find something else to tell your story. Things like smoking, even people around you smoking in a photo, that is also frowned upon.
I would hope, however, if you do smoke, that you are honest with the expectant parents,
yes,
unless you're planning on quitting.
Yes, I totally agree with that. But that is not something a lot of agencies would let you through a check of your profile before you get the green.
Well, it's important to remember that the profile, the intent is to get a meeting or a phone call. And it's during that interaction that you can share more information. Most of the time, a decision is not being made exclusively based on the profile alone, but it's the first step for them to narrow down their choices. So it's I could see how you might say, don't put that in the profile. But yes, if you smoke and you know, you've tried to quit but haven't been able to, and then that's something to say during your meeting.
Yes, I agree with that. And some of those things also will come out in your home study. And I know there's a good amount of agencies my families have worked with that do kind of have a checklist as a part of some of their paperwork that sometimes they even kind of tuck behind the profiles and things that have your ages. There's even a standard page that I've done for several agencies that they want included in the actual pretty profile. So we pretty their Xerox up of, you know, like, do you smoke? What religion are you? How old are you? Those kinds of things. So agencies will also share this information. So you just need to be honest in every facet. But again, most agencies are not going to let you print your profile with a picture of the smoking in it anyway.
So people are often told to make certain that they include pictures of extended family, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and important people who will be a part of the child's life. But what about if you don't have close family, either through death or estrangement? How do you deal with their absence?
Well, it kind of depends on the absence. I know my mom died the year before we began the adoption process, and she was my person. So there wasn't going to be any way there was going to be a profile without her anyway. So I addressed it with how I would be a better mother because of who she was and the mother she was and the things I took away from that. People can handle it many different ways. If that is not your situation, which I do think is a good one in the case of, you know, loss of a parent or someone close to you, and, you know, how they enriched your life and how that will make you better in specific ways, not just that will make me better. But you can also, if you have an estrangement or something like that, listen, again, these are all human beings we're dealing with. People have dealt with estrangement, loss, friendships, divorces, you know, death, all these kinds of things. And so what they're really looking to see is, do you have a circle of people that you have real relationships with, that you can sustain a relationship with, that love you, that care for you, that would do things for you, and will love, care for, and be a part of the life of the child that you hope to welcome. And so that's really the most important aspect. And, you know, these kinds of issues also go to, I know sometimes when I have same-sex couples or things like that, they're also like, well, there's not a guy at our home, so I'm kind of concerned, you know, that they're looking for a someone to be the dad. And I said, well, we're not looking so much for a dad, but what positive male role models that are in your life that are really going to be a active, important, loving part of this child's life? So these types of things go much further than just estrangement or death. But again, the most important thing is they want to know that other people are going to love this baby, accept this baby unconditionally, without a doubt, want to be a part of their life and create these memories, whatever they are in your family or your circle of friends or tribe or whatever it is. They want to know that their child's going to receive that. And it's nice to be able to show who they're going to receive that from.
Yeah, that makes sense. So show who your chosen family is. If you don't have family by biology or adoption, show who your family is by choice. All right, let me pause for a moment and tell you that this show would not and could not happen without the generous support of our partners. And these are agencies that believe in our mission of providing unbiased, accurate information to pre- and post-adoptive and foster families. One such partner is Hopscotch Adoptions. They are a Hague-accredited international adoption agency placing children from Armenia, Bulgaria, Croatia, Georgia, Ghana, Guyana, Morocco, Pakistan, Serbia, Ukraine, and they also do kinship adoptions from other international countries as well. Another partner is Vista Del Mar. They are a licensed nonprofit adoption agency with over, get this, 65 years of experience. And they offer home study only services as well as full service infant adoption, international adoption, and foster to adopt programs. You can get more information about them at their website, vistadelmar.org. So what format should your adoption profile or your portfolio be? It feels like we're kind of at a time of change because it used to be just sheets of paper. And then it became where everybody was going, you know, and having bound books. And now it seems like a lot of people are going digital. And yet I can't tell if I'm just old school, but I think if I were going to be making this type of decision, I think I would want to, I don't know why, but it seems more real if I have it in my hand in a book form. Again, this I could just be showing my age in this in this case. So let me ask, so what formats are people using?
Really, it runs the gambit. I have only come across a handful that I've seen not want the printed, which that's great. I like to have something in my hand, but I'm somebody that's would rather have a real book than read off a iPad or something. And so I don't know if I'm the best. I'm with you, Dawn. I'm not the best judge of that. But I like to be able to touch and feel and, you know, look at again later without, you know, going to a bookmark on my laptop. So I do feel like for the most part, it is still the printed profile is there. I do think sometimes they defer if it's in a hurry or far away, they will defer to online profiles or emailing PDFs of profiles if need be. But I think it runs anywhere from 4 pages, which is a little less common for me. I think probably what I do most is like a 12-page booklet or a up to 20-page book. Those are really the two that I do most often. So again, that's why it's so important to talk to your agency before you start on something. If you want to start on something before you get to the point that your agency is going to talk to you about guidelines and things like that, the best thing you can do is take pictures of everything you really do, because the things you're taking pictures of now are probably not the pictures that you will need for your profile. It's those things you do every week. Those things, you know, like the family movie nights I used to have with my kids with tickets and movie candy that I never had a picture of.
It's so true. We take pictures. I mean, I'm better now, but in the past, you could go through our photo albums online or, well, mostly online, and you would see pictures of vacations, kids' birthdays, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. Yep. And that's pretty much it. I was always the parent who would forget to take pictures at the school recitals and things such as that, and the soccer games, or you'd take pictures of soccer games and would just be a blur of moving bodies on the field. So you're right. I would have no good pictures, none whatsoever. That would show reflect my life.
Well, and people are taking pictures more than ever before now on their phones, but they're not often the kinds of pictures we need on there. Like, I don't need 10 selfies of you and your best friend that are showing nothing about what you're doing. Like, I need to let's see you, you know, having fun out in the garden or, you know, cooking or on that bike ride, or who's stopping and taking a picture in the middle of their bike ride that would, you know, like tell a story, or being like, hey, could you take my picture while I ride down this path?
Exactly.
So those are the
You need to get somebody to go ride yes. with you and take a picture of you riding.
Yes.
And normally you don't do that. Right.
Yes. And please, if you're going to, there's nothing wrong with staging photos for those kinds of things we don't normally have pictures of. If you need to do that and have someone come out and follow you and stuff, but please, please, change outfits between pictures. I did have one lady that sent me like 30 pictures all in the same outfit doing like a variety of different things. So just be sure you change outfits if you're going to do it all on the same day. But yeah, we want to see what you really do and show it in a quality way. And so if that's the kind of thing that you need to do to make that happen, that's fine. As long as it's something you really do. Again, we always want to go back to honesty and being ethical and being who you are. You deserve that. And so,
do the expectant parents. Yes. And the truth is you are more likely to be chosen because you are uniquely you than some type of imagined version of you that you want to present to the world. So, I can remember, seeing a profile of, there were two dads, and they always dressed up in matching pajamas for Christmas. That was their gift. One of their gifts to each other was matching pajamas, which they gave to each other, I guess, on Christmas Eve. Anyway, part of their tradition was always to have a picture of themselves in these silly matching pajamas, and they were silly looking and loud, you know, and I don't know if they slept in them year round or not, but they were definitely, you know, of the season. And that was their, and it really captured something about them, their silliness, their love of tradition, their willingness to be made a fool, you know, to poke fun at themselves. And they included that on their cover. And I thought that was I just thought it was a great, example of expressing who they were. And it did capture who they were in such a wonderful way.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cute. Oh, I hope that they got some matching jammies for the baby.
Well, they did. They do. Yeah, exactly. And they said in their profile that they couldn't wait to have, I don't think they had a matching pair for the picture, but I think they said they couldn't wait. And they do every year they now have two children and their Christmas card is them in their matching pajamas. Now, when their kids are teens, I'm thinking that might not go, but who knows? Their kids are not teens. And right now they all think it's fun and cute and that's what they do. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You have to be yourself and not be afraid of like, maybe somebody won't like that. Well, then maybe they're not the person for you, that you mm-hmm. cannot be like everyone else, because then if you are, you're lost in a pool of people. You know, people come to me and say, I saw this profile online. I want one exactly like this. And you know, they were chosen. Well, no, I'm not going to do you one exactly like that. You have to do your own. We want something that looks like you, something that feels like you, like there's a process to that. And so you can't just go around and pick someone else's because that worked for them. That worked for them because that's who they are. And so mm-hmm. That same reason yours will work for you is authenticity makes such a difference.
How many copies of the portfolio are you hearing agencies want now? Because it's not cheap. I mean, if you're printing one off, it's not a cheap thing to do. But on the other hand, if they're being mailed to expectant parents, it's not necessarily coming back.
I've seen anywhere from 2 to 50, which is a lot. But I would say on average, between 5 and 8. But again, this is something you'll ask from the beginning, because if you have the option of choosing how you go to print and things like that, it may make a difference in what you choose, which way you decide to go in terms of how many copies you have to have printed. So I do always encourage folks when they do their printing to have a couple of extra copies made for themselves. Always send the agency a couple more than they asked for, because you don't want to not be shown because all of yours were out. But also keep some for yourself. And
I'm just going to say, make sure you keep one because you want to show your child.
Yes. And when your child is placed with you, it's always nice. It's especially easy when you have something like a Shutterfly book or something like that. But it's always nice to go in and add a page. Like I always tell people, even if you just want to leave a blank page at the end on your copy, so you can write the rest of the story. It's always nice to add that there at the end and share that with your child. So Yeah. Again, so much goes back to what your agency is asking of you, even in terms of how much you include on each topic. You know, some, if you have 20 pages, you have a lot more room to tell about yourself and, you know, add pictures and make your pictures bigger and things like that than if you have, you know, 4 to 8. So a lot of that will change depending on what the guidelines are.
Well, thank you so much, Madeline Melcher, for being with us today. Madeline is the author of How to Create a Successful Adoption Portfolio, Easy Steps to Help You Produce the Best Adoption Profile and Prospective Birth Parent Letter. Thank you so much, Madeline. Let me remind everyone that the views expressed in this show are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the position of Creating a Family, our partners, or our underwriters. And keep in mind that the information given in this interview is general advice. To understand how it applies to your specific situation, you need to work with your adoption professional. I also know that people will want to get more information about Madeline and her services. You can do that by going to her website, ourjourneytoyouadoption.com. That's all one word, as you would imagine. Thank you again. See everybody next week.